Okay, are we ready? All right. So tonight's topic is a little different than what we've done in the past. It's something that I'm excited about because I had never been exposed to this before. And I have a group of students who I'm taking on different kind of medical ethics experiences. And it was suggested that we check out Vivarium. Vivarium is a place in hospitals or other places where they keep animals for research. This vivarium we visited had dogs, large dogs, pigs, it had rabbits, mice, rats, and also some sea animals. I forgot which types of like fish and lizards that it had. And they have all kinds of protocols. They have veterinarians who work there full time to ensure minimal suffering. In fact, they become so attached to the animals that they told us that they often take them home as pets after. They treat them with as much, you know, dignity and care as possible. But they are researching on them. They're doing surgeries on them. They're infecting them with all kinds of diseases, cancers, illnesses. They usually die at the end, either because of the illness or they decide that it's time to put them out of their suffering and kill them. They live in cages, you know. So certainly, animal people, very, very strong animal rights activists would be uncomfortable with it. But they did tell me, the person who took us out of the tour told me that PETA, when they first opened up this particular vivarium, used to protest them on a regular basis. And the hospital's kind of policy was just like to ignore them. And he said, you know what, why don't we take a different approach? Let me talk to them and let me give them tours and like get to know them a little bit. And so he like engaged with them. And he was like, once they saw what we were doing and got to know us a little bit, it took away the stigma and they stopped protesting. It kind of like became, they got it. So the question is, obviously animal experimentation research saves lives. A lot of things that we do today is all thanks to animal research. But there are people that feel very uncomfortable with it. So what I want to share with you, and I also want to have a discussion, doesn't need to be a monologue. I want to hear your thoughts and, you know, any kind of pushback that you might have. But what I want to share with you is the Jewish approach to this. Because fascinatingly, there's some source sheets up here. Fascinatingly, when I visited Israel a couple of summers ago, and I spent the summer at Israeli hospitals, and the rabbis or ethicists would take me around their hospital to show me what goes on there, I found out that many Israeli hospitals have what's called the Va'adat Tsar Balei Chaim. They have a Va'ad, not of rabbis necessarily, ethicists, professors, doctors, but it's called Va'adat Tsar Balei Chaim. It's just one of the examples. When someone was showing me, he was like a secular Israeli, and he was like, you see how Jewish Israel is? Like, in our hospitals, in secular Israel, we call the Va'ad, the committee that discusses how do we treat the animals, Tsar Balei Chaim, a Torah phrase. It's a Torah idea, you know. So they have policies in Israel. What they do. And so that's what I want to share with you. We'll look at the actual protocol. So I just want to give you a little background. Then we'll just look right at the protocol and we'll see what they do. And I want to hear also what you think about it. And, you know, if you struggle with it. You know, I don't know. Are any of you vegetarians? I'm not. But, all right. So obviously someone who's a vegetarian for ethical reasons might have more of a struggle with it. I think anyone who eats animals, we're okay with eating animals for our own well-being. So I think certainly it would make sense, like, okay, we're willing to eat them, so we should use them for good purposes. I mean, I don't think any of us go around torturing animals. I think we'd all agree that it's bad to torture an animal, but to use an animal for a good purpose, such as saving thousands, millions of lives, could be a good thing. But still, where do we draw the line? At what point? And there's interesting Torah resources about that. So there was one article that I found from a number of years ago by Rabbi J. David Bleich. His article gives a lot of the theory. He didn't give any practical kind of guidance on exactly what should happen in a hospital. He gives the whole theory, the whole sugya. I mean, he's an incredible scholar. But so I'll share with you a little bit of the background. We'll kind of go through it quickly, and then I just really want to focus on the details. So what he starts off with here is just the importance of, indeed, that Judaism does care about how we treat animals. It's, of course, important. Rachamav al kol ma'asav, you know, he quotes all the different psukim from Tehillim, that Hashem cares about everything, and Hashem cares about the animals. You know, that's where I put the little star there. And then if you look where I put this little line here, he goes over all the different mitzvos in the Torah where we see that it's important to care for animals. So, for example, the most obvious example he says is that, which is biblical origin, is that the verse that says, if you see the ass of you that you hate, of the person you hate, lying under its burden, thou shalt, I don't know why he uses the old English here, thou shalt forbear to pass by him. You can't just pass by the beast that is lying under its burden. You have to release him. The same concern exists in Devarim, that an animal has to be free to eat the produce while working. There's also psukim that say that domestic animals and wild beasts have to be able to share in the produce of the land. You know, there's all these different, this is going on to the next page, there's a prohibition against feeding, the eating of a limb severed from a living animal, Eivor Min HaChai. Shabbos laws, that animals have to rest, be allowed to rest on Shabbos. All the different mitzvot in the Torah that seem to imply that we have to care for animal welfare. What it comes down to is, if you turn the next page, is really what the whole issue comes down to is, there's a fascinating Rambam. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim discusses Tzar Bali Chayim, compassion for animals.
Where does that come from? Is that from the Gemara?
Yeah, it's a later phrase. We don't have it in the Torah itself, but Tzar Bali Chayim developed even really later than the Gemara, but it's in the Gemara. There's an incredible story in the Gemara about Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, an animal, a little lamb, was going to be about to be shechted, and it got scared, so it ran away from the slaughtering house, and it ran to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi for comfort, which kind of gives you an impression of like what a saintly man he was, that this animal runs to the rabbi and like starts cuddling up to the rabbi, like a dog would, you know, like cuddling up. And the Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said, why are you afraid? This is what you were created for. And like pushes it back. And then Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi got very sick, the Gemara says. And then one day he sees the Amsa de Bei Rebbe, his famous house assistant, and she was like chasing little rats like out from their house, like sweeping them out of their house. And he says, what do they do to you? Like, what's the problem? Let them be. And then all of a sudden he got better. And he was like, oh my gosh, I was sick as a punishment for being cruel to that animal. Only once I was nice to an animal was it lifted. So that there's like a lot, a lot of the misfortune, they're showing when they talk about all these mitzvahs, they refer to, they term it Tzar Bali Chayim. So kind of a later phrase. But there's a really interesting machlokas. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim talks about all these mitzvahs that Rabbi Bleich just mentioned. So here, we'll just read it on the top. See where I put that? Guided perplexed. Just a few that I underlined. He uses this phrase. So he says, like, of course, we're allowed to kill animals. We're allowed to eat animals, but we have to do it in the nicest manner possible. Right? There can't be inui. This is part of where the whole idea comes from, that Shechita is about being as humane as possible. This Rambam right here in the Guided Perplex, part 3, chapter 48. It's not allowed to torment the animal by cutting the throat in a clumsy manner. Also, he goes on, you know, we have the prohibition against eating a child and its parents. A kid, I shouldn't say a child, but a baby animal and its parents on the same day. Why? So he says, because the pain of animals under such circumstances is very great. There's no difference, listen to this line, the Rambam says, there's no difference in this case between the pain of man and the pain of other living beings, since the love and tenderness of the mother for her young ones is not produced by reasoning, but by imagination. Animals don't necessarily have the same reasoning humans have, but they have imagination, they have emotions. And this faculty exists not only in man, but in most living beings. And he goes on in the next piece, where he talks about how you have to shoo the mother bird away. You can't let her see you taking her eggs. And he says, if the law provides that such grief should not be caused to cattle or birds, how much more careful must we be that we should not cause grief to our fellow men? So the whole issue when we're dealing with animals is we should be compassionate to animals. The Ramban disagrees with him. I just underlined the main lines here. The Ramban in Devarim, on the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKenis, anyway, the mother bird, he says, first of all, we have to recognize that She'ein rachamav magin bebali ha-nefesh ha-bahamis leman osanu milasos behem tzarchenu. Hashem does not have the same kind of mercy on animals because they were created to help the world. There is a utilitarian sort of purpose. Adam, just to kind of plug our Shabbos, and use, you know, there is a sort of, like, animals are allowed to be used for human needs. That's what the Ramban is saying. Milasos behem tzarchenu. She'im kei haye asar shkita. If it wasn't so, we wouldn't be allowed to kill them for meat. Aval, tam ha-maniyah, the reason why we can't make animals suffer, l'lamedo tanu midat harachmanus v'shalodnis achzer, so that we don't become cruel. The Ramban thinks that Tzar Balei Chaim is not, it's, the concern is not about the animal suffering. According to the Ramban, it's because it's about us. I don't know, I remember when I was in high school, I remember I once went to someone's house, so I knew, and this guy had a snake, and he bought a bunch of rats to feed a snake. And before he fed them to a snake, he like smashed them with the hammer. And I was like, what a disgusting person. I was like so shooken out. I couldn't believe, the sheets are right here. I couldn't believe like some, I was like so disgusted. I saw him do that. I was like gonna throw up and I left. I was like, and then that guy, I remember that guy ended up in jail. And I remember when I heard about him being in jail, I was like, yeah, he was that guy that would like kill animals and didn't feel any, had like no mercy, like he would like smash an animal with a hammer. And then I remember reading a study once in college about how there's even a correlation between people who are like excessively cruel to animals and their criminal behavior. There's a certain like lack of compassion or pity. And it reminds me of this, and this is what the Ramban is saying, that we're supposed to be compassionate to animals because what a disgusting person would be so cruel. It's not because, of the, like Maimonides was saying, no, we have to worry about their feelings. They have feelings too. The Ramban is saying, no, it's just, it's about, the Torah is about making us into more refined people, and refined people wouldn't do that. But it's not about, he's clear, it's not about, ki achzaris es pashi benefesh ha'adam. It's really about what kind of a person you'll become if you treat animals cruelly. So that's some of the background. There's a lot of mitzvahs in the Torah. You have to let animals rest. You can't let them lie under their burden, even if your enemy's animal, all these kinds of things. We have to be feed animals first. There's lots of, you know, we have a concept of Tzar Balei Chaim. There is one source, early source, that leads us now, starts to our discussion that we're going to have now about medical studies, research on animals. There's a Ramah. The Ramah in Evan Ezra, and this is now on the next page, it's in the top source there, it just says Shulchan Aruch, but it's actually the Ramah, Perek Simen Hei, Sifya Dalet. The Ramah is writing about, it's about Tzar Balei Chaim there. He says, Kol davar tzarech l'refua, anything that's needed for medical purposes, or l'shar devarim, or another purpose, like it's, there's a need, leis b'mishum iser Tzar Balei Chaim. There's no prohibition against making animals suffer if it's for a purpose. Wanton suffering, just, you know, kicking animals, smashing whatever, that's for sure forbidden. But for a need, such as refuah, what would be an example of refuah 500 years ago? So the example he gives is l'chein, muta limrot notzos mi'ozos chayos. You can pluck feathers from, like, geese, some ducks, or birds, that they believe that the feathers were, there's different examples. I know that there's some Rishonim talk about putting, laying in with pillows with feathers, certain feathers in the pillow that would like help people to cure. Notzos mixos ophos is called, like certain birds' feathers. They believe, that's what they used to believe. So whatever it meant exactly, they still believe that it was for medicinal purposes. So there's no problem, no prohibition against going to a bird and plucking its feathers, even though I'm sure the bird screams and flies and like it feels pain from that. You got to imagine pulling out hair hurts. But if it's for someone's healing, the Ramah, it's clear. It's not like this is like not a halachic source. This is in the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law. He says it would be allowed. But he does make some interesting points. He says, no concern with Tzar Balei Chaim because it's for refuah. But then he concludes, Mikol makom ha'olam nimna'im, the community tries to avoid it, to have achzarius. Now going back to the Ramban. It's not nice. So we try to avoid it when possible. So this is kind of like our primary source we have, at least our primary halachic source. We have this whole concept, you have to be kind to animals, treat them with certain dignity. But now we have a concept that, okay, for refuah, for a need, it's allowed. But we still do have some concerns. It's not like total blanket, just do whatever you want. We're going to get much more specific now, but comments, yeah.
Have you seen the postkin that, like, for pro-vegetarianism in the past, there have been.
It's not common. It's not mainstream.
Wasn't there a post-sage or a sage who was a vegetarian? Not so long ago.
Well, yeah, there's been a few. Well, Rav Cook.
He was?
I think except for Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken.
Waldenberg, was he?
Eliezer, not that I know of. It's not a, I'm not an expert on this.
Is it any sources to like say that maybe we to be careful about?
You know where they are? When I was researching this, I only found in like certain like minhagim of certain tzaddikim, like Kabbalistic or a big gedolim that would say like, you know, we're doing everything, we try to avoid. Because, you know, there is a concept in Judaism, and like especially with like pious people, that we are, no, not just Ein Har, but that we are in the world to like fulfill a shlichus, like to do a job. And the example is, imagine if you're a salesperson and your boss says, okay, I'm sending you across the country. I'm willing to spend $10,000 for you to, you know, go on your sales trip. But obviously you better bring in more than $10,000, otherwise it's not worth it to me. So certain people have this attitude like, well, I want to spend as little as possible on that trip so that it matches, like, why should I spend more money and stay in luxury hotels? I'm there to fulfill a purpose. So the way, this is the Chafetz Chaim's mashal. He says, so too in life, like we're supposed to take as little from the world and give as much as we can. So you see in certain like biographies of tzaddikim, this is what I saw when I was researching this, that they would be like as minimal as possible, but
vegetarianism.
Right, not so common. It's not common. But I'm not saying you couldn't make a case for it that there were some rabbis sometimes, but it's not like the mainstream.
But you never see because of this reason.
Like, I mean, Judaism allows it. It's a mitzvah. It's hard to argue that Judaism encourages vegetarianism. It may not be a bad thing. I'm not saying that someone who's a vegetarian is bad. I mean,
it's hard to.
They should eat at good restaurants also, but, you know, it's not bad to be a vegetarian, but it's not like Judaism would require it.
I mean, it's yeast and having bread.
Well, yeah, remember our discussion about, what were they called, the Jains?
Yeah.
The Jains wouldn't even drink beer because of ferment. They believe that it was like a living, kind of like a living beer. Yeast. They felt that it was, yeah. So at a certain point, it's like how far you go with it. Right.
Okay. So.
Rav Kook also wrote, it's hard to know what he exactly thought because different things he wrote in different places, not always in the literatures. So his commentary on the Siddur, he actually writes in one place that when Mashiach comes, the only korbanos will be the korban mincha. There will be no more animal sacrifices. Yeah. It's not clear if he was actually saying that that's what's going to happen or if that was like what it's not totally clear, but he does, I've read it, he says that in one place, and some people have taken that and said, oh, this means that we're going to be vegetarians at that time because we were vegetarians in Garden of Eden, you know, until Noah, we were vegetarians. But that's certainly not the mainstream expected approach. But you could find sources to support it. It's just not like necessarily
a requirement. With regard to the beer, the yeast ferments the sugar into alcohol. When the alcohol gets to a certain level, the yeast dies.
Uh-huh.
That's, otherwise it would just continue to ferment.
Or you run out of sugar. The yeast
the yeast dies.
Right, but the Jain religion, we were reading about this, they feel like anything that has any, they feel like even the minimal life form, they don't want to eat.
So how do they eat?
I know, I don't know where, plants are alive, technically a certain life form, but, I know, I don't know where you draw that line exactly.
It's possible, but they survive.
So, first, let's just look at two things then. Now I want to show you, just as a background, and then we're gonna get to the main point, but just one point is, so this, now what you have below is what we're going to conclude. The last two sources that we're going to use are Dr. Avram Steinberg's most recent Sefer book on medical halacha. And this is where he has, what we're going to read in the next page, what is in Israel used by the religious hospitals in particular as the rules by halacha for animal experimentation. So we'll go over their guidelines. But first, let's just see in the background of what does halacha allow? Because the Ramah said here, you can use an animal for a purpose, but not if it's for no purpose. And he said, it's nice to not. If you can avoid it, it's nice to not. So he gives four things here that you can use animals for human purposes. Here's the four categories. One, davka bedrachim mekubalim ukeminhag bnei adam. It has to be accepted, like an accepted normal practice. If there's an accepted normal practice that we use animals for this, so that makes it okay. Number two, davka kasher atzarhu emsai la'asaga tatuelas shelo nitein la'asigota mibli ligrom et atzar. If you need to cause this pain to get this purpose, then you can do it. But if you could get that purpose without causing pain to an animal, then you should avoid it. It's better if you can get away without it, that's better. But if you have to, Lefikach, he says, mutar letzair balei chaim kedei lahafik mehem notzos lektiva. Like, for example, to get feathers for writing, for like a, even though technically you could probably write without the feather, but aval. Asher letzair balei chaim, but I guess for a mitzvah you need it. Tzair balei chaim b'derech shal milchamos b'nehem, or if it's just to like cause them to fight with each other, like animal fighting, like the people sometimes do. Kasher ha-revach notzair m'mechirat kartisim, right, where they do like betting on the animals, all this kind of stuff. That obviously is not enough of a purpose. Number three, tzar b'lai chayim lo hutar ka'asher ha-matarahi rak kadeli malot ta'avosav. If it's just because this is your desire, that wouldn't be enough of reason. This doesn't apply to eating meat, because that's not just because it tastes good. It happens to taste good, but it's also because we need it like for protein and to live. But if it's just because you want to do it for fun, that's not a good enough reason. Just because you're angry or something, so you want to take out your anger, you can't take out your anger on an animal. Take it out on the pillow or a wall or something. And number four, gam b'mitzavim shemigidrei iser tzar balei chayim mutar la'asos ma'asim mesuyamim. Also, even when you can hurt an animal for some of these purposes, ach imhem ma'asim achzarim b'miyuchad, but if they're especially cruel actions, yesh nimana b'la'asosos, then we should avoid really trying to hurt them. So those are some of the mafarshim on that Ramah that we just read, and you can start to see how this might start applying to animal experimentation. Let's go straight. I mean, we have some more. There's more sources in here if you want to see them. But let's start talking. Let's get in a specific discussion now about this issue. So if you turn the page to page 218. Any thoughts, actually, before we do that, any thoughts now that just from what we've read, any thoughts about the general concept of experimenting on animals, whether it's giving them, testing drugs on them before testing on humans, doing surgeries on them, trying out different things?
It's very broad. Like, you could, you just potentially say, this is for some purpose down the road, but it could be 20 years down the road. You're killing potentially tons of animals with no, like, I guess, certainty of success. At a certain point, right?
With medical research, it definitely is.
At a certain point.
And the vast majority, as I asked when we went to Vivarium, the vast majority are not successful, meaning they're going to try all kinds of drugs and all kinds of animals are going to die until they finally get it right.
I wonder what the hit rate is. I mean, it's probably not so high.
Not good. Right. But eventually they do get it right, and then they save millions and billions of lives.
Yeah.
Okay. Any thoughts, Ed, about what if you were the one making like the rules for like how to run a vivarium, what you should do, or if, in terms of how you treat the animals, what you can do, what you can't do, any initial thoughts on what the rules should be?
Reduce pain, for sure. Do they do that? If it's something like they can do.
Yeah, they anesthetize them.
They do a lot.
They do. Mm. The veterinarian that I got the tour from told me also that he won't hire anyone in his vivarium if they don't have pets.
Really interesting.
He wants them to have a sense of like they love animals.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry?
And the four criteria. The first one is to draw him with
love. Yeah. Yeah, right. Because it has to be something that's accepted and normal. But in that realm, meaning if it's normal in the world of medical research, that's what makes it normal. Mm. Yeah. Interesting.
I think the closer you get to that which is quote-unquote man's best friend, the dog,
yeah,
cat.
Dogs they use. Pigs they use. Pigs are very smart.
Depending on the research, they have to be as close to
humans.
Right, they try to use something close to humans.
Monkeys.
Also, it's interesting. I mean, I hear your point, and I think that's something that a lot of people would probably agree with. But interestingly, that Rambam we read, he said it was the same whether it was like a cow or a bird. Remember, he compared like cows and birds. He was like, they all have pity for their, so, I mean, usually I think people would put birds low, no? Or a little bit low on that. Right, I guess.
I mean, you see, the other thing is, I think, if before when you were talking about vegetarians, I think we'd be overruled, the world would be overrun if all these animals were, because they procreate a lot quicker and everything, we would not be able to survive or live because they would be taking over the world. So I think somehow there was something that Hashem and all of these sages determined, which is why we are allowed to eat. Not part of the animal kingdom as well.
I was going to say that when Rambam said that like, all animals, parents love their children, or all animals love them equally, I mean, some animals eat them. They eat their young.
Like what?
There's definitely animals that will eat their
young. I'd say mammals versus non-mammals.
The young.
Interesting.
I mean, there's some...
There are mammals that eat their young. There's some that you have to separate the father from the mother, because once the mother gives birth, the
father will kill the...
I think rabbits sometimes. I mean, there's also some animals that don't have really a memory, you know, like people do, or like other animals. So I think, you know, I wonder if maybe to them it's less cruel if the animal's not going to remember it down the line.
And now also reproducing animals, that's also my question, just for this purpose, is that better? Is that more ideal?
Right, they do.
And with rats, for sure.
There's some even species, they showed us some species of animals that have certain conditions that they purposely breed them, to because they want to be able to experiment on them, and they have they're born with tumors and things like that, so they can test on them. Maybe there's something they see. They're not happy animals. I mean, I saw them. They don't seem to be like happy, cuddly animals. They're probably in a lot of pain, but hopefully they're also saving lives. I mean, that's where do you draw the line? So let's look at what the guidelines halacha gives, and we'll just go through them, and then I want to hear each one. Like, let's tell me what you think. So first, he just starts with the halacha. This is on the bottom of 18. He says, we know this because we just read it. Mutar lasot nisyonim al balei chayim. You can do tests on animals. He gives as the source there, just so you can see, because we're reading an encyclopedic work, but the source there is the Mem, which is 219. The Mem, that's from Shas and Chuvos Avodah Segershuni, Shus Yaakov, Binyan Sion, Chalkas Yaakov, some important poskim, Sridei Eish, a number of poskim. It's allowed to do experimentation on animals. Ubevadai imenisyonim nasim bederech shel miut sar kechol efshar. Especially if they're done in a way that reduces suffering as much as possible. She'az betsar kal yesh asavurim she'ein isur. So therefore, if it's not too much pain, many say there's no isur whatsoever. Ubefrat im osim nisuim al balei chayim nemuchim she'einim kechol bechal isur. And this is where your point, especially if they do it on lower level animals that have less of a prohibition. There were some post-game that differentiated between more sophisticated animals, and I'm not sure exactly what they categorize as that, but it was considered worse to damage or to cause pain to a more sophisticated, sentient, whatever, more aware animal than to a less, I'm not using the right word, not sophisticated is not the right word, but more developed, whatever. But he just used lower, that's the Hebrew, the muchim. But there are those who say that there's no prohibition against, if you're walking the street and you actually step on an ant, is that tzar balei chayim? This is one of the things you find sometimes in those books of tzaddikim, that certain rabbis would really like try not to, but obviously they would still walk in the street. It wasn't like the Jains who wear the mask on their faces, they won't even breathe in an insect, they try not to kill anything. But so some would say, no, especially if it's a lower animal, then it's for sure not. Befrat im osi nisuvim al balei chayim nemuchim, I read that already. She'az bevade adavar mutar, that it's for sure allowed. Va'af midas chasidus, and for sure it would be pious. Even from Midas Chasidus to be pious, you don't have to say, I'm going to be so holy, I'm not going to test on animals, because in those cases where you're trying to cause the least amount of suffering, it's not prohibited. The next point he gives on page 219, Hanisu Bibali Chaim, Sarif Leyos, Miwad La'achas Mimatar Sabaos. It has to be for one of these purposes. Kidum Habrius,
advancement of health.
Exactly, thank you. Advancing health, harafua, or healing, umaniyat seva, or reducing suffering, kidum amechtar madai, or advancing research, bedika, or yitzur shel chomrim or chafetim, or actually testing drugs, testing medicines, or chinuch v'hara, or even training or teaching purposes. All those would be allowed. B'chol mikra yesh l'ma'et k'chol ha'eshar b'tzarem shel ba'al chayim. We should, for sure, though, try to reduce the suffering. K'gon ayadei hardama, like, for example, such as using anesthesia, usa, u'b'gemar ha'nisuyim. When it's done, im ein hu od zakuk lahem v'heim b'tzar, if they're living in pain and they're not needed anymore, and this is what happens in the hospital, yesh l'hamit es ba'al chayim b'der mehera k'chol ha'eshar. They should be put out of their misery. Compassionate endings, as they call it. They told me to call it in the Vivarium. So if they're in suffering, they're not needed anymore. And in fact, one thing they told me was that part of the veterinarian's jobs there is that they're overseeing the different research teams that are doing research on animals. And at certain points, the veterinarians stopped the researchers and say, okay, we're not letting you go any further now. This is as much as we're going to allow because it's causing too much suffering. And he says they sometimes like get in like little quarrels with the researchers because they're like, we're not allowing anymore. It's reached a limit that we can't. And so they really are like trying to make sure that at a certain point, the research is concluded, like they should just put them to sleep. And that's what they do. Finally, in order to minimize the suffering, this is where you have now the principles, these 10 points. I'll read through these 10. This is the last thing I want to share, and I want to hear your thoughts. So this is now the guidelines for the hospitals. So they have hospital or vivarium, people that want to follow Jewish law when they're researching animals, these are their 10 rules that they have to have. They all have the rules. The vivarium that I saw has their own rules, slightly different, but actually similar, but a little bit less restrictive. Jewish law is going to be a little bit more restrictive on how much we can do to the animals. So here's number one. Rule number one. There has to be some kind of proper, logical, research-oriented goal here. That for doing this research, you need to research on animals. You couldn't do it without the animal. So you have to be able to show, why am I doing this on animal? Why can I not do this in any other way? That would be what you have to put your first like IRB approval for this. Why do I need the animal for this? Kimataro tamechkar mastikot es tzar balechayim. But the purpose of research does permit causing pain to animals. That is enough of a reason, but you have to show that it's a need. Number two, lo yarechu nisuim bebalechayim im niten maasikosa matar bedrachim acherot. And kind of similar to the first one, you cannot do it. If you could get this information in another way, you would not be justified in using animals for it, if that's possible. Number three, this is the harder one. Mispar balechayim benisui yugval lemispar katan biyoter haechrachi lebitzua nisui. They have to be able to. It can't be like, okay, you want to do this test? You want to test out this new chemotherapy on animals? Do you really need to do it on 500? Could you get enough research if you did it on 300? How about 200? Like they want to get the smallest number possible, but that's research that's relevant, that would help. But so it's allowed, but not to be one. What?
That's the same principle when you're doing clinical research on humans. In other words, if you're doing a placebo-controlled study. You're not just going to say, well, I'll do 10,000 people. You have to statistically show a correlation, and say, we need at least X number to prove the statistical significance.
So you're trying to beat a minimum, but not go, but you're, there's also a maximum that you don't want to go over.
Well, no, you want to go to the number that will give you the statistical significance.
But it just gets that number and not go higher.
If you're looking at a very small difference between groups, you need a huge number. But if you're expecting a 10% difference, you can calculate based on what you're looking for how many you need to achieve a statistical significance. And that's how you come up with that number.
Right. So same thing.
Right there.
Yeah. So that would limit the number of animals you can use, but still, however much you can justify. That was number three, right?
Yeah.
Number four. Nisuyim b'valei chayim yirchu toch hakpada. You have to be very careful. Al mizor hakaev vasevo shirgamu lahem bemsaot hardama v'shichu kaevim miravim. It has to be done with all kinds of concern and care about the suffering of the animal through using anesthesia, as we read before, and making sure that they're in as little pain as possible. Number five. This is like what I mentioned before. Sug balechayim benisui yuguval linimoch biyosar me'afsher et anisui bli lifgom matarosav. It's using the minimum type of animals, the least human-like, but you need human-like for the research, so but the least aware, I guess, and I don't know, I think I'm coming up with the right word for lower level animals, but whenever you can get away with it, and that might be one of the reasons why they use rats, mice, so much, they can sensitive to be, I guess, lower than a dog or a pig or a monkey, right? So that's encouraged as well because of the halacha that some opinions say that that's not considered tzar bal chayim if it's to, you know, a slug or something, if you go to an extreme. Number six, hamtas bal chayim la'achar anisui te'asei, that they have to be put to sleep after, k'chol anitein, b'terem shuvam la'kara. Ideally, if they're put to sleep, if they are under anesthesia for a procedure, they shouldn't, and they're going to be in a lot of pain if they wake up and they're not needed anymore for the research, they should be put to sleep then before they wake up so they don't experience the pain. We should be worried about the amount of pain they experience. So put them to sleep before they wake up and experience the pain. That was six, right? Number seven. Balechayim hatzifuyim or hashufim lakaev eiz. Animals that are experiencing significant pain, or seva memushach la'achar nisui, or ongoing pain after the experiment, yum tu gam im lo husagu matarot hanisui. This is exactly what they told me that they do. That even if you have not reached the therapeutic, the research goal yet, but the animal is suffering excessively, they should stop that research and they'll say, you know what, this animal is suffering more than it should be. Let's do it on a different animal. Let's put this animal to sleep and not make the animal suffer more than needs to be, even if we're not going to get the research out of it. Obviously, if it's some kind of very important research and they can't get another, and there's like, they need to finish the study, we've seen already that research for human health justifies it, but when possible, if the animal's suffering more than expected, they should not be caused to.
Should two animals suffer better than one a lot?
Seems like it. It seems like what he's saying is just that animal, it seems like for whatever reason, that animal is suffering much more than we expected. Mm-hmm. Something must have went wrong or some kind of problem here. We shouldn't make this animal continue to suffer like that. Mm-hmm. Let's do it again in a way that's going to cause less suffering to another animal than more suffering to this animal. Sorry? Well, yeah, so then obviously that's part of the research, so it would be allowed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Number eight, rofe veterinar. You know what that Hebrew word is? Rofe veterinar. Ya'amod lirshot orche hanisum. There should be a veterinarian that's involved with the research, that's there studying. And their role is oversight and, you know, compassion for the animals. V'yada'eg libriut balechayim lerevachasam kechol anitein. They're concerned that let's make sure that people aren't just coming doing willy-nilly research. We need to be there on top of kind of oversight. They're the mashkiach kind of the process, which is what they told me happens. Number nine, nisuim refuim bebalei chayim yirechu ach verak al yedei chukar musmach ubaki, only by a certified, trained, accepted, professional researcher. It's not something that, even though we've read all this, we could say, it's basically that saying, don't try this at home, kids. Just because we've read this, we can't say, okay, now let's try it. Because people who are sophisticated at this, know what they're doing, are obviously, like with anything in life, going to be able to do it in a more proper manner. And the truth is, even halakha requires medicine to be performed by someone who's certified. The Shulchan Aruch says that a doctor can only be someone who is accepted by community, who's gone through training. They have permission from the Beis Din. Today we say that's like a license. And so to hear, halacha actually requires that this research should happen by someone who's trained in how to do it. And number 10, Tanai ha'chzaka shel balei chayim b'terem hanisui v'acharav, when they are kept in their cages before and after the research, kol hamikum, the place, tezunah, the environment, Av Yerur, Yosef Bezeh, you know, the entire experience that they're having. Shichli Yost, Nochim, V'Tovim, Kechol Efshar. We should be making sure it's not like just because this animal is going to be researched on, so it should therefore live a life of complete abject suffering. You know, like they were telling me, I've never seen it, but they were telling me like they take the animals like for walks and like they try to have let them play and you know, like they kind of are treated with as good of a life as possible when they're not being researched on. They shouldn't be just totally made to be like tortured when they're not even being used for the research. So those are the Ten Commandments, as we could have called this class, the Ten Commandments of Animal Research. What do you think? Anything surprise you here?